You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello everyone. A very warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. This is Tuesday's edition of the podcast and we're taking a look ahead to racing at Beverley and Nottingham on this edition. There is plenty of racing to go at, all live from 1:35pm on Tuesday afternoon on Racing Radio. You can join Bobby Beavers alongside Gareth Topham and Will Smith for the day's racing. But Sam Norris here, and joining me on the podcast today, it is a very warm welcome along to Mr. Tom Morley. Tom, how are you?
Very well, thank you, Sam.
Good. I don't think I've seen you since your winner over at Tipperary. Hats off to a great bit of placing. Were you the mastermind behind that?
Well, it was in the list of choices. The Sandown the next day was also in them. And Robert on the morning before was going, oh, there's only five in Sandown. I kept going, no, we're going to Tipperary. But there's only five. No, we're going to Tipperary. Because, to be honest, I thought the Quinn's horse would be pretty useful anyway at Sandown. It's double the money in Tipperary and... Yeah, but I think it was a good decision.
More money and weaker opposition. It's not exactly a tough choice, is it?
I didn't think so. I mean, obviously, it cost a few quid to get him
there.
Yeah,
of course,
No, he did it nicely. I think he's quite useful, to be honest.
Good. Where next for him? Have you formulated a plan?
I think he might end up going somewhere else and not be mine.
Okay. Fair enough.
But if not, he'll go. If he stays as mine, he'll probably go to the Malcolm, I should think, at Goodwood.
Okay.
And then I would have aimed him at the Nunvolt.
Okay. We'll start this edition of the podcast with a quick look through the Monday jury. Obviously, we'll move on to some of Tuesday's best bets in a moment. Starting with the always controversial world's best racehorse rankings list, which always causes the utmost uproar. I suppose it's not dissimilar to FIFA's world rankings in football.
Yeah, about equally useless.
Now, nobody really agrees with them, but they always annoy people. Anyway, Crystal Ocean is atop the list. Do you think he's the best horse in the world? Do you think it's fair the way the rankings are sort of allotted on which horses produce the best number in a single race rather than a combination of their entire form?
Yeah, it's... Look, I don't think they're a complete waste of time, but I understand why they do them, because people just like to make lists, don't they, in everything. So, do I think he's the best? I'm not sure he is necessarily the best. I mean, obviously, Enable over here, I'm not going to claim to have huge knowledge of ones around the world that would various other nations might claim to have. But, I guess Crystal Ocean runs quite a bit for a horse of its calibre. You know, Enable only comes out... a lot less.
And, yes.
But then you've got to think, Enable's return was really good, and I probably would have Enable above Crystal Ocean, but perhaps we'll find out, won't we, in due course when they meet, hopefully. So, I guess the answer is no, I think Enable should be top then.
Fair enough, which I think a lot of people agree with.
Do you agree?
Yeah, I think so. But I can see why Crystal Ocean is... top of the list based on how they calculate the rankings.
Yeah.
I think if it was a list that combined every piece of form for every runner, then you would have an Enable top. But I can see why they've arrived at Crystal Ocean being top just on the number that, you know, that he has put up in his last run. Anyway, on to some of the weekend just gone's action, starting with the July Cup, of course, big race of the weekend, won by 10 Sovereigns. Obviously, everyone heard after the race how well he'd been going at home. We knew that a little bit in the market before the race. It was about 9-10-1 midweek, and then was 3-1 the morning of the race. So we had a sneaking suspicion, yeah. And then Aidan O'Brien revealed to us after the race just how well he'd been going. How does 10 Sovereigns match up to some of the July Cup winners that we've had over the course of the last few years?
I think that's pretty hard to weigh up, to be honest.
We kind of have to see what he's going to do next.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. I'd rather just view him at what he is. Obviously, a great 2-year-old. The Guineas, well, you can see why they had aim, but clearly that hasn't worked. They've gone back to sprinting. Commonwealth Cup was a step in the right direction. And as you say, quite clearly, they knew that 10 Sovereigns was in blistering form at home.
Yes.
And I'm sure they were rewarded handsomely when he justified their support. You know, it looked a very good performance. Obviously, fast ground, did it the hard way. Can't really knock it. I'd say it'd be one of the better ones, to be honest, because there's been over the years a few that have perhaps got lucky given the weather or who hasn't turned up. So, yeah, I think the future will tell us a lot more, but on that performance alone, it looked very good.
Mm. On to one of the disappointments, I suppose, of the July meeting then, and that's Vizianari, who was a big talking horse, of course, after the number that he ran to on debut. The speed figure aficionados were really purring about that performance and went into the July stakes a very skinny price. As a result, didn't justify the market support. Do you still view him as a potential classic horse when he goes up in trip next year?
Look, I think he was a bit inexperienced. Probably in hindsight, they might have wanted to have gone further. It's hard for a horse that's, you know, come off one run against perhaps some more experienced ones. Do I really care about whether he's a classic prospect? That should be a question, shouldn't it?
Well, no, because I know the answer to that.
Yeah, I know you know the answer to that.
That wouldn't be as illuminating listening as this question.
It would be a one-word answer,
yeah, exactly,
wouldn't it?
Yeah,
of course he is. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just one run. A lack of experience, I think, cost. Hasn't actually run badly anyway. There's no way I'd be binning him just because of that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I get mildly amused by the differing opinions on him, and it was quite fun watching some of it.
Everyone's in a rush to be very black and white, aren't they, about, you know.
Yeah, whereas I think I'm just lukewarm on everything and just go with the flow and see what happens. But I think I look at everything in very individualistic.
Yes.
Whether it's betting-wise or anything-wise, I don't really care about what's going to happen in 2 months' time. Today is today, and I worry about what's on today.
Yep.
That's so it's a bit harder, perhaps, for me to be so black and white and dismissive anyway. But I wouldn't be binning him at all. Let's see what happens next. I suspect he'll bounce back, and then everyone will be back on the other end of the swing.
Yeah, absolutely. On to the next question then. Are you a fan of Super Saturday, or should the action be spread more evenly? Of course, we've had all this great racing on this Saturday for a few years now, of course, at Newmarket, York, Ascot. It's not a bad card at Chester either, in truth. Do you like the way it is? Do you?
No. I don't think it's... Personally, I don't think it's particularly helpful for anyone. You know, you can look at it from the betting side of things, where there's so much going on and there's so little time, if you like, to prepare for each race. You can look at it from the jockey's point of view. Obviously, some jockeys will be happy because the fact there are so many meetings, it does open up rides for ones that won't necessarily get them.
Yeah, it's quite interesting. The people on the Monday jury this week in the Racing Post, Tom Marcan says, no, from a jockey's point of view, this is bad. Ross Orion says, this is good from a jockey's point of view.
Personally speaking, from an owner's point of view, I would say it's bad as far as jockeys go, because I'm struggling perhaps to pick who I might normally choose.
Yes.
I'd say it's tricky for trainers, not least because of the logistics of getting horses all around, but the staff.
Yeah,
you've got to send staff everywhere, and then what staff are left at home? It's all right for people who maybe have heaps of staff, but we know there's been a bit of a staffing problem anyway around, so I'd say that's logistically a nightmare. No doubt the coverage in the various media things, that can get all rather moving on very quickly, perhaps doesn't give enough time to and coverage to each one. You know, if you're going to do it, maybe, do make one of the meetings start a little bit earlier or something like that. But personally, I'd far rather see some of the... And it's not just that Saturday. There are other Saturdays,
yes,
I think,
course,
the same thing. Whereas I'm not a huge fan of Sunday racing. I'm not against Sunday racing. We have it. So why not put some of the... Move a meeting. I know none of the courses want to. I think that's probably the problem. But, you know, I think there's too much in one day, personally.
It does seem a subject that we talk about this time every year, though.
Yeah, absolutely. It'll be the same next year.
I'll pencil you in for 365 days' time, Tom, and we'll...
Absolutely. I mean, I was quite on the ball this time when I knew I had runners at Ascot.
I,
as soon as the entries were out and so on, I was straight trying to get the jockeys because I knew there wouldn't be a huge choice.
Yeah, of course.
And then when Alamara Tulum did get into the Bunbury Cup, unfortunately, as he ran a stinker anyway. But, you know, we were left with, who do we pick?
Yes.
But we picked one of O'Brien's jockeys because they were coming over.
Yes. Was there a horse beaten on Super Saturday that you think will go close next time? I always think picking a horse to definitely win next time is always a little bit tricky. You don't know what conditions are going to be next time.
Absolutely.
Turns up, but you know what I mean. Is there a horse to follow that got beaten at the weekend?
Well, I suppose a couple that I caught my eye. I always think Spanish City is going to win a big race at some point.
Yes, but and me.
Will, if we're not poor already trying to get him to win, we probably will be by the time. But I'm sure he'll pop up in a huge one at some point.
Yes.
I thought Fairyland would go well, potentially, as you say, depending on who we're up against. Maxi Boys, I think, quite an interesting horse going forward. Ropey Yes should win a maiden at least from the same race. I'm loath to say Blue de Vega will win next time, but it did explore every part of the track at Ascot on Saturday, going from draw three to then running on the stands rail, having been dropped out last. You know, at some point, I expect he'll fall into a race. There's a few.
Yes. Okay. Take your pick. And the final one then looks ahead to this weekend's big race, which is, of course, the Irish Oaks. Obviously, they don't have this next to the Irish Derby. We get to wait a few more weeks for it. And that's coming up on Saturday. What do you think about this one? We've currently taken the betting down for the race as we record.
I have to be honest.
I don't know what's running, really.
Well, when I looked at it last night, I was thinking, right, there don't seem to be any betting on this.
Yes.
That's not particularly helpful. There's a lot of entries.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, let's see. Everyone else seems to like Iridesa.
Yep.
So, guess that's going at least, especially if Joseph O'Brien's putting it up. I mean, look, that would have an obvious chance. I see that Manuela de Vega has been mentioned. Now, I've no idea if it's going, but that is a horse I like.
Yes.
So, if it does go, I probably would be hoping that'd be a nice each way price, and that would probably be where I go just because I like the horse. But, yeah, whilst we're hunting out who's actually going, that's probably a day early for that one.
Yes, I'm sure the market will take shape this week, but at the moment, too many runners, really, I guess, to price up for that one. But that, of course, coming up on Saturday. That about wraps the jury this week. Let's turn our attention on to Tuesday's racing now. Tom's got a couple for us to follow. We start at Beverley with the 3:45, and this is a handicap over just shy of a mile, 7 and a bit. Furlongs this one. It's Division 2 of a handicap over that trip. Start us off in this race, please, Tom.
Yeah, I think the likely favourite's probably going to be Thornaby Nash, and I think that's fair enough. I mean, the 8-year-old geldings, he's in good form, especially when going to Thirsk, a winner there last month, went close again earlier this month. But on his four goes at this track, he hasn't really shined, and he's in fact finished last a couple of times. He's also off a high mark for him these days, so I'm going to pass Thornaby Nash by, and the horse I'm going with is Global Exceed.
Yep.
Moved to this yard for 10,000 in May. I think it's the third run for Connection since that purchase. Always out the back on debut for them. But back at Thirsk last time, finished third, actually, to Thornaby Nash. Was held up, bit unlucky, got hampered late on. Thought it was a much better effort. The tongue tie, unsurprisingly, that stays on. I just think he's ready to move on from that. And if we actually dig through his back form, we see that he's run here twice in the past, and he's run all right over this trip especially. I guess the only concern is the low draw, because he can be a bit slow away. And if he can get out the stalls, not lose his ideal draw, I think that would be a good start. But I think either way, he's going to be finishing well. And if you look at the race, I mean, it's full of horses struggling for form. Likes of Echo Lightning, Muta Farid, Explain, Codaline, they're all out of form. I think they all need a bit of a revival. Ollivander's the interesting runner, I guess, other than the selection, being a 3-year-old, getting weight from the older horses, in decent form, won here in June. But that was with cut in the ground, and he seems to like going forward as well, and he's drawn widest of all. And the last twice, he hasn't been at his best. The other three, Relight My Fire, Make On, Madam and Parium, they all seem to need a lot more to figure at the front end to me. So I thought that, you know, I respect Thornaby Nash for his recent form, but I do worry about a couple of things there. So I thought Global Exceed might be the one to take it on with.
Global Exceed then for the Tutties in that 3:45 race at Beverley. On to one of the evening races now. We go to Nottingham for the 6:40, and this is a handicap over the 5-furlong trip. What caught the eye here?
My selection in this, it's the old boy. He's now 11, Move In Time. Won 10 times over the years. And he creeps into this race off 76, given the shortage of runners. He's never raced in a Class 5 event before in his life. You know, he was running well off marks in the high 80s at the end of last year. I accept this year hasn't gone particularly well, but I think he was always going to struggle at Newmarket back in April. In May, he returned there to a race he had won the previous year. I mean, he only finished sixth this time, but wasn't beaten far. Soft ground, Haydock, fifth. I thought that was a decent enough effort. And last time at Hamilton, did pretty well to finish fourth, considering he missed the break. He's only won the once in however long, but this is definitely his easiest chance to get another win on the board. And again, looking at the opposition, I mean, Arzak's not really done anything for this yard since the retirement of Chris Dwyer. Choosy moved to this yard last October, but I can't see that one's hit any form yet. Grandfather Tom won at Yarmouth on seasonal debut, but that was a pretty poor race, in my opinion. And he also got first run on the second that day. He's looked exposed since. Sheepscar Lad, I guess that's another who's in calmer waters this time. Falling down the handicap, I think his day will come, and he's probably our main rival. Three-year-old Dragon Beat also looks to be out of form. I just think it all leaves, you know, moving time with his best chance for a long, long time to end a bit of a drought. And, you know, if he doesn't get to the front in this one, you've got to be thinking, yeah, he really is on the downgrade now, and perhaps retirement might beckon in the not-too-distant future, but hopefully he can go in.
Moving time then, one to follow Nottingham on a Tuesday night, and that's at 6:40 and goes with Tom's early selection, which was Global Exceed in the 3:45 at Beverley. Racing Radio is live at 1:35 on Tuesday afternoon with Bobby Beavers, Gareth Topham and Will Smith in the studio. Hopefully you can join the team for all the day's action on Tuesday. Tom, thank you as always. A pleasure as always, and enjoy it on Tuesday.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.